Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Greetings to each one of you. It's been a blessing to be here again in your midst. The biggest thing that's in between us and you is the Rocky Mountains. And I love coming through those Rocky Mountains and visiting the families here again. I thought we had a little bit backwards when I saw Lester get up here. Are you living here, Lester? Do you live here? Okay, so you're a visitor too then. Yeah. I had a lot of memories from our days back then, and I about forgot what I was going to share this morning when I was just sitting there thinking about our days back there on the farm with Lester and the boys, and just a lot of memories, but we don't have time to do that today. So I'm going to share a message with you that I had shared back home. It's something that we all relate to. Every morning we get up, and unless we're somebody that's living out in the woods by themselves or in the mountains by themselves, we may not have to deal with this a lot, but relationships. We have to, it's a daily thing, something we deal with every day. And it can be challenging sometimes. Sometimes they're easy, sometimes they're hard. Sometimes they can destroy individuals. Sometimes they build up and encourage. But I want to think about how relationships affect my life and how I can affect others in a positive way. And this morning I want to build a monument of relationships. So when we think of building anything, any type of building, a structure, there's always a foundation. And I like to think of that foundation in this monument as Jesus Christ. And this is a fairly large monument, and so there has to be a lot of strong structure. And this is the foundation is Jesus Christ. I want to call this the monument of relationships. We all desire strong, healthy relationships in our lives. And we want to be close to people. We want people to know, or we want to know that people love us. We want to experience friendship, nearness, intimacy. We want to be known. And we want to know. So how do we get these type of relationships? We've all experienced some of the challenges and difficulties that come with any relationships. There's disagreements, there's differences, there's misunderstandings, there's offenses, much more. Maybe some of you haven't been taught how to have healthy relationships. So how can we work through these issues in a helpful and healthy manner? Thankfully, we have the Word of God that shows us what good relationships should look like. God gives us guidance on how to connect with others in ways that are a blessing to us and also an honor to Him. I believe God created us for healthy relationships. So depending on your experience, you may wonder whether healthy relationships are even possible. There's a lot of brokenness in the world. Are good, healthy relationships possible? The Bible makes it clear that yes, it is possible. When God created Adam and Eve, His intent was for them to have a wonderful, God-honoring relationship. But sin, we know, created that rift between Adam and Eve, and it damaged that sweet fellowship that God had given them. Since then, every relationship has been marred with sin. There's a challenge that we all relate to. It comes more natural for some than others, but I believe it's still a challenge for each one. The good news is that Jesus Christ came to bring healing to our relationships. I appreciate the passage there in Isaiah 53 as well, and that fit well with some of the points that I have here this morning. Through Christ, all our sins are forgiven, and we can call God our Father. Jesus can also restore our relationships with one another. He makes His power available to us so that we can love one another and treat each other with dignity and respect. When the Bible was written, there was deep enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. But through Christ's death and His resurrection, Jesus broke down that wall that divided them. I'm going to read a couple verses in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 22. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, containing in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. As believers, we have access to the Spirit and the power of God. And I believe that part of being a Christian is pursuing good, healthy relationships. I believe Jesus is our perfect example for healthy relationships, and we're called to be like him. Our relationships won't be perfect. We'll have struggles. We'll disappoint each other. We'll fail each other at times. But with God's help, we can truly have good relationships. Psalms 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build this house, except the Lord build this monument, our labors are all in vain. We read there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, about the foundations of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ being that cornerstone, being the foundation on which we build. Our relationships need to be built on the pure Word of God, not some formula that the world puts together and offers to us. So what does the Bible say about how we should treat each other? We're going to start, as we build this monument, I want to add points in here. And remember, as we're building this, there's relationships involve others, right? It's not Wayne building this monument by himself, but it's two or more individuals working together. So we have to do similar or the same things to be able to come together. And so as we build this, we're just going to begin with love. These are our points that we're going to build this monument on. Let's turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. More than anything else, solid relationships are characterized by love. Love is the one defining characteristic of us, of those of us who are Christians. I think we would agree that the best relationships are filled with Christian love. As God has loved us, so we need to love one another. It's not just a feeling, but it needs to be more than that. It's a strong, sturdy love that perseveres through the thick and the thin, through the rough times, through the smooth times. It's a sacrificial, giving love. When our relationships are governed by love, everything else should fall in place when we begin with love. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Don't feel obligated to turn to all these, because I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Some of these verses I'm not going to expound a lot on. I just want to point out the need for love, the need for charity. When we operate out of love, we're able to work through struggles and difficulties. We can forgive one another. We can extend mercy toward each other. As we talk about the other characteristics of healthy relationships, it's important to remember that all of them flow out of love. If you want your relationship to be stronger, start to pray that they would be filled with love. As you grow in modeling Christ-like love, you'll start to see your relationships be transformed. Humility is the second key to healthy relationships. And these may not necessarily be a right or a wrong order, but this is the order I have them. When we're humble, we're willing to listen to the opinions and the ideas of others. We don't treat people in a condescending manner. And we're willing to admit when we're wrong. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Just because you're humble doesn't mean that you have low esteem of yourself or think of yourself as a loser. It simply means thinking rightly about yourself. Humility causes us to realize that I'm just like everybody else. I'm not any more important or any greater than anyone else. We don't understand everything. We're prone to making mistakes. We don't always see everything clearly. And we can learn from each other. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We also recognize the gifts that God has given us without elevating ourselves above others. Why should we be humble? Because God pours out His grace on the humble. He stands against those who are proud. But He bestows great blessing on those who are humble. So if you want to see growth in your relationships, begin to ask God to help you grow in humility. Ask Him to help you think of others more highly than yourself and to value others. Service is the third key to healthy relationships. Again, Jesus is our perfect example when we think of someone who was a servant. When Jesus came to the earth, He didn't demand that others serve Him. Rather, He dedicated Himself to serving others. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, this is an incredible passage. So Jesus was the Son of God, King of Kings. He came as a servant. He could have sat on a throne, given orders to others, and elevated himself, but rather he spent his time ministering to others, healing the sick, blessing the poor, washed the feet of his disciples, sacrificed his life on the cross to save us from our sins. Never has the world seen such humility. The world believes that the way to the top is to claw your way up there, step over anyone you can that gets in your way. But Jesus is the opposite. The example that he left us was to come down, come down on a servant's level and serve those around you. Matthew 20, verse 25 to 28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The best relationships are those where each person seeks to serve the other. Instead of fighting to get our own way, we look first to the interests of those around us, the interests and desires of others. Ask the Lord to help you grow in service. Ask him for the grace to put others ahead of yourself. Fourth key to healthy relationships is patience. The reality is that we all make mistakes. We have our own struggles, our own difficulties. But if we want to have a deep, meaningful relationship, we absolutely must be patient with one another. Our patience with one another is rooted in God's patience towards us. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, but he's patient as we slowly grow in righteousness. Sometimes it takes us years to make progress in a particular area. But I believe God is very long-suffering. God has been very patient with me. All the mistakes, the bad choices I made in the past, if it wasn't for God's grace, his long-suffering, his patience with me, where would I be? Where would you be? He lovingly walks beside us with each step of the way. Psalm 103. Psalms 103, verses 8 through 18. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. If God is so patient with us, we must be patient with each other. We don't demand that someone changes immediately, but I believe as individuals come to the knowledge of truth and are encouraged and guided through difficult, challenging situations, there's a process or a growing that takes place. And if we throw up our hands in the air immediately and give up, we'll discourage them. There's long suffering that we as Christians need to exercise one toward another. I'm not talking about tolerating sin or unfruitful works of darkness, but I'm talking about maybe a character trait that just grinds us the wrong way, and it creates a challenge in our relationship. We don't have a my way or the highway mentality or attitude toward each other. When conflicts arise, we patiently work through it. Ask God to help you grow in patience. Ask him to help you constantly remember his patience with you. As you become more patient, your relationships will strengthen. Acceptance, the fifth key to healthy relationships. Like I mentioned, that doesn't mean that anything goes. We don't accept anything that comes down the pike. It does mean that we're congenial and respectful to one another. We don't create in-groups that exclude certain people. I'm talking within the church. Rather, we accept one another as God has accepted us in Christ. God has forgiven all of our sins, adopted us as his children, and accepted us into his family. We are no longer excluded from the presence of God. We can come freely, boldly, knowing that God loves us and delights in us. We should never make people feel like they have to earn our love or friendship. God welcomes us with open arms. We don't have to work for his love or his or his welcome. He gives it freely to us in Christ. He doesn't show favoritism, and neither should we. If you struggle to welcome others, ask God to give you his heart. As we're building this monument, we have brothers and sisters that are walking beside us, encouraging us, directing us, helping us to find our way. It gives us the moral, spiritual support that we need. Affection. Healthy relationships need to have affection. Affection is a physical or a visible demonstration of love. And it can take all sorts of forms. Giving gifts, hugging, serving, making a meal for someone. These are all forms of affection. There's many others. But these are tangible ways that you can show affection and show someone that you truly love them. I had a young man working for me part-time this winter. 20-year-old man, young man, made a lot of bad choices in life. Still very bitter. Very angry. We were talking one day, and he said, "I think we need to tell each other more that we love each other." He said, "I'm not meaning in a bad way." He said, "Just somebody that's hurting, to know that you as a person care about me, expressing your love and care to me in a right way." He said he didn't hear that growing up, and it was he was very touched by individuals that were working with him, counseling him, that they actually expressed that to him. So we don't know. We never know when somebody's going through a difficult time, and we share that with them, how that can touch them, how that small thing can touch somebody's life. Think of the ways that Jesus showed affection to people. He ate meals with the tax collectors. He washed the feet of the disciples. He put his hands on the heads of the little children when he blessed them. He fed the crowds. He healed the sick. He didn't just say that he loved the people. He took action. And demonstrated by his actions, he demonstrated his love. If Jesus was affectionate, we should be too. We should do all that we can to show people just how much we care about them. Because remember, it's not all about me. Actually, it's very little about me in relationships. Romans 12, verse 10. This verse has been probably one of my favorites as I think of relationships in the church, relationships in brotherhood. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And I think if we can, as Christians, if we can live this out, would take care of a lot of challenges in churches. In honor, preferring one another. There is love, there's humility, there's a lot in that verse that we need to consider as we relate to one another. Affection and love go hand in hand, but affection is the proof that we really love someone. Find ways to show affection to people in ways that they find meaningful. Sometimes this needs to happen when you least feel like doing it. It may open up avenues to building healthy relationships that you never dreamed of. Ask God to help you be a person that is filled with compassion and proper affection toward others. Forgiveness should be the hallmark of every Christian. We've all experienced forgiveness. Those of us that have chosen to follow God, we have experienced God's forgiveness. It was secured for us by the precious blood of Jesus. And it cost God an enormous amount to forgive us. If we've received such extravagant forgiveness from God, we should extend forgiveness to others. Matthew 18. Verses 21 to 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have mercy, or have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, saith unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. This parable illustrates how important forgiveness is. God has forgiven our enormous unpayable debt. In light of this, we are called to extend that same gracious forgiveness to one another. When we refuse to forgive, bitterness is the result. We hold grudges, refusing to be gracious to those who have wronged us. This is deeply hurtful to God, and it destroys relationships. Forgiveness can be a very difficult thing if you've been deeply hurt by someone. It doesn't happen overnight, but God can help you move toward forgiveness. He can give you the power to let go of your grudges and to extend forgiveness. As Jesus was being nailed on the cross, he asked God to forgive those soldiers. Jesus can give you that same power in your own life. It's true that healthy relationships take work. It takes work to resolve disagreements and extend forgiveness. It takes thought and efforts to show affection. It can be a real struggle to serve others. But relationships are worth the work and the struggle. There are few things more precious than having a close, strong relationship that can survive the bumps of life. Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. A close friend is a valuable treasure. You can pick each other up when you fall. You can encourage each other when you're discouraged. You can help each other grow in godliness and love. Love for God. Love for each other. God doesn't want you to walk through life alone. Life's too difficult to navigate by yourself. If you are alone, ask God to bring someone into your life. That friend can be presented in many ways. It can be a spouse. It can be your son or your daughter. It can be a brother or sister in the church. It can be the neighbor down the road. You can be a blessing and inspiration to each other. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. When I read these verses, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 21, I think of committed. So we've built this monument. We've come this far, we're committed. You know, we've made many mistakes. We've disappointed those that were close, that are closest to us at times. We can choose to forgive and forget these hurts, or we can continue to nurse these wounded feelings and hinder the healing process of a healthy relationship. I believe that as brothers and sisters that are the strong are the ones working together, giving the strength and support and encouragement to those that are struggling. We need to be understanding. We need to be believing and saying the same thing, or there will be confusion and ultimately never reconciliation. When the St. Louis Arch was built, there was a plan and one goal. And that was to come together. And to unite the south side to the north side. If the south side crew come to work Monday morning and decided they didn't care about the plans, they're going to do their own thing this morning, the north side, same thing. We don't need the plans. What do you think that tower, the end of that, what do you think the end of that monument, what would have happened with the finished product? It would have been a totally different outcome. In these situations of helping to reconcile relationships, one can't say, I am of Paul, and another say, I am of Apollos. We can't say and do our own thing and expect it to turn out well. We believe there are different gifts, different personalities, different opinions, but those need to blend together in a church to help build these monuments of relationship. 1 Corinthians 3. Verses 9 to 11. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Laborers together, not laborers against each other. That makes us God's builders. While we don't believe in building monuments for the purpose of fame, power, or recognition, it's still a fact that these monuments draw a lot of attention. You can't miss this monument when you drive through St. Louis. Good, pure, wholesome relationships will not go unnoticed. When there's love, when there's humility, when we serve one another, we exercise patience, acceptance, affection, forgiveness. When that's lived out in our relationships, then others are blessed as they observe that in our lives. By that we leave a godly testimony to the world as well as to our families. The St. Louis Archway cost around $13 million. Strong, healthy relationships are priceless. May God bless. Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to be here this morning to worship together with brothers and sisters of like faith. Lord, as you look down on this congregation, you know the hearts, you know the desires, you know the struggles, you know the defeat, you know the victories of each heart. And Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct this congregation as they continue to serve you here and as they work through the challenges, the difficulties of relating one to another, relating to the community. And I pray that it could be a pure testimony of godly men and women that desire to serve you. So Lord, I just pray a blessing on them. Pray you go with us through our day here as we relate, fellowship with one another. Pray that we could be an encouragement and a blessing and to lift each other up. So we commit all things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.